Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And welcome into Browns Cast, week 13 debrief. Week 13, is that where we're at? Yeah, week 13. We're about a day late. To be honest, we were both just not feeling it last night.
Definitely not. Definitely not yesterday.
It's a frustrating game. Loss, another loss. Is that the first time this year they've lost two in a row? I think it is.
This year, I think so.
Yeah, so kind of a new experience for this year. Obviously, we're used to the Browns losing, but you know, this year it's been a little bit different. I think, and I feel like this is the vibe that everyone kind of took away, at least everyone in the Discord, and I feel like some of the Twitter sphere is starting to come around on this feeling too. This team has played out a long time. They've played out a long string and been able to maintain despite the injuries. We've flipped the calendar to December, and I think now we're starting to see ramifications of that.
Yeah, I can agree. Just watching the game where Miles is basically a third down specialist, you're missing Denzel Ward in the secondary, and then you have Joe Flacco, who's your fourth string quarterback playing, you understand the reality that is starting to finally hit this team. Unfortunately, at the worst time in terms of the playoff picture and coming down the stretch. Luckily, they have the benefit of an easier schedule than maybe some that we're competing with, but yeah, it's not fun right now.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the benefit of us getting really injured last year and slipping into fourth place at the end of the season. We got some of that fourth place schedule luck this year, and a lot of those teams stayed bad. I think, yeah, we got the Jets and the Bears out of that, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's a good place to be, but you know, we're still staring at a schedule where we need to find three wins. There's three extremely winnable games left, and you know, maybe they find a way to win those games and they get healthy over the last month and they can make a playoff game interesting. But you know, I think we're just at a point where the attrition has set in. We staved it off as long as, like, the team staved it off for so long. They got through that Steelers game. They've made these last 2 weeks competitive until the end, but we've gone three games now since Deshaun was declared out for the season. You won the first one, which was arguably the most important one, because you beat the Steelers. You won a home game. Those are the important ones to win. But you went on the road and got kind of smacked around twice in the fourth quarter. And that's not where this team has been all year. So they've been resilient. And they've shown that they can come back from things like this. And so they're coming home for the first time in a few weeks. We'll see what they got this Sunday.
Yeah, I think right now they just need a little home cooking. And it sounds like the weather might be in their favor from that standpoint. You got like a team from Florida, so you know, you never know how they feel about the conditions of dealing with like the Midwest. So you know, that's always something.
Yeah, I was trying to look this up. I don't know if the Jaguars have necessarily played a game in cold weather in Trevor Lawrence's tenure. They played a game in New York at the end of last season. I'm trying to see what the weather was. usually it lists it, but it doesn't. They played a game in New York at the end of last season. Houston, they played a game at Tennessee at the end of last season. Those are two games that could have had weather. Top of my head, I don't remember if they did. But, you know, you play in Jacksonville. Three of the other team in your division is in Nashville, and then there's two domes. So
yeah, you're not dealing with elements that much. The most you're maybe dealing with is the rain in Florida.
Yeah, and Tennessee can get a little weird towards the end of the season. It can get really cold there. But, you know, this could be a new experience for them. Not saying that it'll be a huge advantage for the Browns, but it was a huge advantage for the Browns when they played the Niners. So maybe that the Cleveland being in outdoors comes back, and the no dome faction will have more ammo. But I think we do need to kind of address yesterday a little bit. I think the easiest thing to take away from yesterday, aside from the fact that the defense is beat up and it's hard for them to function when they're so hurt, but I think offensively, and we talked about this at the end of the podcasts on last Thursday, and I think we kind of saw it come to fruition. I'm not sure you can bench Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I think I came to the same conclusion too. Like, the way he was just playing within the rhythm of the offense, it looked like he had been, well, obviously there were some times that wasn't great, but there it looked like he just fit right in. Like, the way his style of play just meshes with what Stefanski wants to do. Like, play action, run the ball, take your shots. That's just kind of what Joe has been doing with the Ravens for the majority of his career. And, like, it kind of just looked like old Joe Flacco just doing what he used to do when he was with Baltimore.
Yeah, I think some of that, I think, might have to do with the Rams maybe not being able to generate the same kind of pass rush. Aaron Donald was kept in decent check for the entire game. I mean, he was credited with the safety on the last relevant play of the game, but that I think that was a foregone conclusion. But
yeah, that was just stat chasing at that point.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Nothing that happened in the final 2 minutes really mattered, I don't think. But, like, we do lose a lot in terms of mobility. Jacksonville has a good pass rush. The Jets have a good pass rush. The Bears apparently have a good pass rush now, but I don't know how they're going to be able to score. So, I think Flacco has enough control of the offense that he kind of looked like a bit like Jacoby Brissett. Last year, like, the offense felt very similar, where they were able to open up the passing game a little more, but, you know, now you don't have Nick Chubb to fall back on in the run game.
Yeah.
And I think we continue to see why, you know, for all the people that are saying that they need to run the ball more, I think we're seeing why they don't run the ball that much. It's because it's just not working.
Yeah, like, that's why I didn't mind when they were going, like, up towards 30 to 40 pass attempts. I'm like, I get it. It was the best offense they had all day, was just taking shots and just, like, getting the ball down the field that way. Like, so I didn't mind it, because, yeah, that the D tackles were just eating whatever holes alive, so the running backs couldn't get any room.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Jerome Ford is a good complementary piece to Nick Chubb, and that's the reason he was drafted. But, you know, he's getting out carried right now by Kareem Hunt. And I think that kind of says a lot about where the run offense is.
Yeah. And he's more of a short yard situation back at this point of his career, because, like, he can just barrel through for 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah. I mean, Kareem Hunt had 12 carries for 48 yards. Jerome Ford had 9 carries for 19 yards. Not good. I mean, it's just not good. It takes away from your running efficiency. And, you know, Joe Flacco wasn't perfect. The pick obviously took a lot from his rating at the end of the day. But, like, he still might have posted one of the highest QBRs of a Browns quarterback this year. Hey, what? 23 of 44 for 254 and a 2 touchdowns.
It says a lot about how this year's been quarterback wise, where we're just like, yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, relative to everything else we've seen, that's pretty good. It's just the quarterback position had struggled. I think Joe Flacco, I think what struck me most is that he's still able to throw accurately. And he's still able to, like, he knows where to go based on what the defense is giving him, more so than what DTR will know, because Joe Flacco has seen, what, 15 years of it, 15 seasons of it? This is his 16th season. So, like, he's seen it. He's been around. He knows what he's doing. I think having someone like that be the quarterback for the last 5 games, While your ceiling might be lower because DTR might be able to do more with the offense as he gets comfortable, I think the floor is a bit higher with Flacco because he's not going to have – I don't think he's going to have a whole lot of, like, boneheaded mistakes that come with being a young quarterback.
Yeah, like, I would say – I would agree with that too just because – like, outside of the pick at the very end of the game, he was just, he knew where to go. He had a lot of velocity on the ball, and he just was, like, very deliberate with everything outside of the pick, which I think was just, like, the nuance of the offense he probably doesn't know because, like, he kind of hitched it and just threw it up there. But other than that, he knew enough to where it was like, I can control the pace of this game and just keep the offense moving. And that kind of was what it was.
Yeah. He did a good job distributing the ball as well. I think we saw during a graphic in the middle of the game that he had 9 different pass catchers. He threw the ball to 9 different people.
And I think he also had, like, the most passing yards out of play action since, like, Case Keenum back in 2021. Jake Trotter tweeted that out, and I thought, wow, really? He's pretty good yesterday.
Those play action throws are as much about getting the correct, like, being able to get the defense to bite, and then it's about making quick decisions.
Yeah, because usually in a play action play, you maybe have one or two wide receivers that are your options. So, yeah, you're trying to make a quick decision off 2 receivers.
Yeah, and he did a good job about that. As soon as he would turn around and get ready to throw, the ball would be going to where it needed to be because there was a guy open. So it was nice to see that kind of decision-making quickly. I think we were starting to see a little bit of it with Deshaun before he went down. Maybe he'll get back to that next year. I guess we'll see. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do wonder that if just kind of playing out the scenario here, if Flacco is the quarterback for the remaining 5 games and he does well enough to get them to the playoffs, I wonder if he hangs around next season.
Yeah, I could maybe see it. Like, just hang around as being a backup. Like, I could see it.
Yeah. I mean, it could be tough to – I mean, because obviously they want to keep DTR. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves there. But, like, the game was 20-19 with 8 minutes to go. And the Browns had the ball, I believe. So they very well could have – pulled off a similar thing to the Ravens game and figured it out. And from there, they could have won the game, but it just wasn't going to happen yesterday. It's just Now they got to show that they're still resilient. Hopefully we get some guys back from injury.
Yeah, they just kind of have to stick with what they've been doing in terms of just keep plugging away, because that's their only choice at this point. Yeah, you're not wrong there. And hopefully some guys are healthy. Hopefully Denzel is closer to coming back this week. You can really tell where they needed him, probably against Puka for sure, to because that matchup was just eating them alive from, like, virtually from the first series.
It's just a matter. It's a matter almost of shifting these guys around. Like, they could, like, last week it would have been helpful to have Denzel against someone like Cortland Sutton, or
yeah,
against Jerry Jeudy, depending on who you want to have on the faster guy. But they just haven't had that option, and we haven't heard whether or not he's going to be back next week or not. So,
yeah, that is the one thing that I think we didn't realize until he's been gone, is like they complement each other so well that when like one piece is missing, you notice it right away, and that's kind of what Denzel Ward has been. Like, you just, whew, yeah, they need him back.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. We'll see what they get out of him this week. But until then, we have to roll with guys that, you know, to be honest, number 25 out there.
Was it Mike Ford?
No, Khalif Halassi.
Oh yeah. He did get.
I had never heard of him. To be completely honest.
I had not heard of him until yesterday. So yeah, we were diving deep into the practice squad yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of where we're at. It's unfortunate that they've lost so many pieces on the secondary. We're seeing how important even guys like McLeod are. So I don't know. It's just a matter of piecing it back together. They've been a lot better at home than they have been on the road. They have mostly home games the rest of the year. This week, it's going to be an uphill climb. They are already a 3-point underdog at home. Second time this year they've been it's probably the third time this year they've been underdog at home. But
it's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Just got to figure it out.
Yeah, that's all they can really do at this point. Yeah. And, like, yeah, that I guess just that is the one thing that we'll figure out is, like, how, like, can they stem the tide? Because right now they're in a four-way tie with the Colts, the Texans, the Steelers, and us. And they need this win. Like, if they won yesterday, they would have at least be at the top of the wild card. And now they're pretty much just like, we just need wins just to stave off these other teams.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And I mean, we didn't know what they would be at that point. But, you know, that win against the Colts is obviously huge.
It's huge now, for sure. Because I think they're just outside. Yeah, they're outside. The Texans are above them.
Yeah, based on tiebreaker. And having the Broncos lose yesterday is bigger than I think people might have realized, because now they're in a position where they have to go 4-1 the rest of this season to get to the 10-win mark. And they still play the Chargers twice, and they have the Lions on the schedule. So they could be staring uphill. I mean, they could lose their next two and be 6-8 and pretty much done. So it's just a matter of, like, all of these teams that are in wildcard spots, you're trying to math your way to 10 wins. The Steelers' math just got a lot harder because, as bad as Kenny Pickett is, he's a lot better than Mitchell Trubisky.
Which somehow says a lot. Oh, man. And did you see, like, I think I posted in the Discord that the Patriots-Steelers over-under is the lowest it's been since 2005. It's like 30.5. I thought that was remarkable.
Yeah, that's going to be a really ugly football game. Godspeed to those of you that are forced to watch that for work.
Sicko game of the week right there. Just
I mean, and the Patriots defense has actually been pretty solid. Their offense has just been non-existent. So that could very well be a game a lot like the Chargers game last week, where the first to 6 points may win. But so many of these teams are gonna come down to the wire on this. The Steelers need to go 3-2. Broncos need to go 4-1. The Texans need to go 3-2. The Colts need to go 3-2. We need to go 3-2. And we play the Texans. We don't play the Steelers, but the Steelers have the Bengals one more time, and they have the Ravens one more time. Like, and they're a bit of an unknown without Pickett out there, because Trubisky refuses to throw to the left side of the field. The offense they run apparently neglects the entire middle of the field. So they might be really easy to defend.
First to 10 points, see who wins. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, when you get run off the field at home by the Cardinals, it's not a good sign for your playoff hopes.
Kyler Murray, I don't think he even threw for 120 yards, so that says a lot.
I'm going to look this up. He was 13 of 23 for 145. He ran 9 for 20. James Conner had a good revenge game, 25 for 105 and 2 touchdowns.
A lot of James Conner fans I noticed when watching that game. So, yeah, hometown kid, yeah, got his revenge.
That makes sense, though. He's good. He's a good story out of there. I'm glad that he left the Steelers so that I could kind of root for him, his story.
Yeah, I always liked him outside of the Steelers part, but yeah, I did like him too.
Yeah, but I mean that's just where we are in the season. The offense needs to figure out a way to manufacture about 20 points. I think against everyone left but the Jaguars, that might be enough. The Texans game might be penciled in as a loss, but I recently found out that I will be in Disney World for that game and not watching. And the last time I was in Disney World for a game and not watching was Halloween last year, and that game went well. So I'm gonna hope that keeps up.
keep the good juju in Disney World. I like it, man.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's too expensive for me to be there every week. but yeah, I mean, it's just, you're counting wins now. You're getting to a number. You got to get to 10. Yep. And I think I've been saying that since August. Like, you got to find a way to get to 10. The 10 games has shifted because none of us thought the Niners were a win. Let's be honest. None of us thought the Niners were a win. None of us thought Baltimore in Baltimore was a win, but you know, we did think Baltimore at home was a win. So the wins have just kind of shifted around. And you're with that, you're probably about where you thought you'd be. Although we did think we probably thought we'd sweep Pittsburgh this year, because despite the preseason hype, we didn't think they were that good. They're 7-5, and I don't think anyone thinks they're that good.
No, like it's, if there's a paper tiger, that's them. They are a total paper tiger.
Yeah, I mean, they've got enough defensively to scare you, but if you have a shred of a soul on defense,
if you have any semblance of a defense, you should be fine.
Yeah, they're showing actually on Monday Night Football right now. They're showing the Jaguars' percent chance to win the remaining schedule, and they have. Jaguars had a 57% chance to win this week. Hmm. Which, you know, not great when you're the road team, when you're the home team and you're not favored, but basically a toss up. We'll see what the weather does. We'll see who's healthy. We'll see how Trevor Lawrence reacts to the cold. He is from Georgia. He played at Clemson.
He not plays exactly in Jacksonville. Cold places.
I don't think he's ever really had an opportunity to play in the cold. So we'll see where that goes. And you know, the Jaguars, they have an easier schedule than the Browns, I think. They've not really beaten anyone. So it's kind of hard to judge them in that regard. They've been playing well lately, but they got smacked up and down the field by San Francisco 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. So the Niners, it seems like they found their, like, they found their swag again. It seems like, because they beat up on the Eagles too. So it's like, yeah, they're on fire. And yeah, the Jaguars, I have no clue about. They are probably good, but how good are they is my question.
They're good, but they've not been tested. I mean, went 2 wins over Indy, Atlanta, Buffalo, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Houston.
It's just kind of, yeah, you're just taking advantage of your schedule at that point.
Yeah, they split with Houston too. The first time they played Houston, they got beat 37-17. So
yeah, and this was before people knew about CJ Stroud being CJ Stroud, and he's been CJ Stroud, so yeah.
Yeah, that was actually, I think Stroud's probably, actually, I think Stroud had a really good week one game, or week two game, but yeah, he kind of had his coming out party in week two, 30 of 47 for 384 and two touchdowns against the Colts in a loss. Then obviously he had his 500-yard game against the Bucks. Had Baker's touchdown throw stuck in that game, we'd be in a lot better playoff spot, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, and we can thank the, if we do make the playoffs on a tiebreaker over the Texans, although the head-to-head would be kind of tough there because I don't expect us to win that game. We can thank the Panthers, who their only win came against the Texans.
Nice.
Yeah, just proof that weird things can happen in the NFL at any point. Yep. But getting back to the Browns, there's just – I feel like the vibe in the fan base is kind of – and Gerbs even alluded to it today. He was kind of doomy. I don't know how much doom we should actually have because we – at this point, we're playing for those games against the Bears, Jets, and Bengals. Like – that's the season. It's those three games.
Yeah. Like I guess people are in the fear of like the 07 scenario where we basically were left out of the playoffs because of tiebreakers. I think that's just kind of where people's fears are at right now, because you're in a 4-way tie. You don't want to be held out of the playoffs because of something stupid like tiebreakers. So like I guess I can totally understand people's fears right now.
Yeah, it's just going to, like, the tiebreakers are so weird, and so many of these games can go either way down the stretch that, like, just getting to 10 wins and hoping for the best is probably your best bet. Like I said, the Broncos are going to struggle to get to 10 because they have to go 4-1. The Texans need to go 3-2, but I think they are staring at a bit of a the Texans are probably the easiest. They have the Titans twice and the Colts in week 17. So, yeah, the Texans could get to 10 or 11 if they beat the Browns. The Ravens actually have the toughest schedule of anyone trying to make the playoffs, but they're pretty locked in at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts have the Bengals, Steelers, Falcons, Raiders, and Texans. So the Colts could, I mean, honestly, the Colts could theoretically win any of those and lose any of those. They're just kind of a wild card. The fact that they've won 4 straight is.
Yeah, they almost lost to a Titans team that's kind of faltering. So like they are definitely like a coin flip team.
They were 3-5 heading into the month of November. And wouldn't have beat the Panthers if they didn't score two defensive touchdowns. So,
shout out Steichen, man. He, just like the Browns, they keep finding ways to keep winning.
Yeah, I mean, they've been doing well there. And with the Bengals falling apart down the stretch, and now we don't know what the Steelers are going to be. I think we actually kind of need the Steelers to win that game. But it just comes down to the Browns getting to 10. And it could start this weekend. It could be next weekend. They just got to get to 10.
Yeah.
If they don't make the playoffs with 10 wins, bad luck. I think I plugged it in just their games. If they get to 10 wins, they have an 86% chance to make the playoffs. If you miss on that 14% because of some tiebreaker, because you lost to the Texans when you were beat to hell, I like, it would suck, but you know, 10 wins with the luck that they had in terms of injury this year could be looked at as a positive. It won't be at the time, but.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's about all we have to say about that game. Just going to briefly touch on the picks here. We all of us had a pretty good week. Matt, you got 4 of the prop bets right. I got all of the game picks right. Joe or Gerbs only got 1 of the prop bets right. And as it is prophesized, there is a tie for the lead.
Is there?
Yes. Gerbs and I are now tied at 103. You are at 101.
I was hoping you would give me it. Oh, man.
Yeah, the difference there was if you'd have picked the Rams, we'd all been tied at 103.
I had to be different. And the one time I was different, it bit me in the ass.
Yeah, I was the only one to pick the Niners, so.
You know, I think I picked the Broncos just because I was like, the Broncos. I guess I was just salty about that game. It was like, oh, they won because of stupid stuff.
Oh, so well, then you're even further behind. I gave you wins for the Broncos. You're at 99.
Oh, okay. I think that it was at least a cover, right? So,
all right. What was the final? No, it was 5 points, wasn't it? Yeah, it was 22-17, so it was Houston minus 3.5.
Oh, okay.
But ugly football game either way.
Yeah, it was very interesting game on Red Zone, though. It was very interesting just watching all those like tight games.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, I was watching the Quad Box all afternoon. I fell asleep watching the Quad Box, actually. And then I woke up for the Browns game. But, yeah. We will be back later this week to break down the Jaguars game. Hopefully, Gerbs gets over his fit of doom and we can be in a good place.
Yeah, maybe he just needs D&D to, like, calm his nerves and all that. I forget what day he does that, but usually it's like the day after and he's usually in a better mood.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be that much different than the last couple of games. I think the Browns will do enough to keep it close early. I think the difference is going to come in how they play the fourth quarter, and they've been a lot better at home than they have on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like hopefully that home cooking goes in their favor.
Yeah, they gotta get some luck to go their way. They gotta get some players back on the field. We gotta make a good decision on who we're starting at quarterback. Obviously,
yeah, that now probably Flacco.
If I had to guess, it'll be Flacco. I think Stefanski saw how the offense worked with him back there. And they're going to be they're going to be wanting to keep him out there. Even if it's just for a couple more weeks and then maybe, I mean, I don't know. I don't think you want to go back.
No, like, I think we at least seen that the floor is so high with Flacco that even if he has a clunker, I don't think it's going to be like a massive clunker.
Yeah, and you know, the Jaguars are going to be able to get after him a little bit more. So we will see how that works. But I just don't think, I think he sees a lot after 1 week. He's going to look at the film and say, I can run the offense that I had with Jacoby. And that's going to be what they do. They just got to find ways to, they got to find receivers that are going to be able to catch the ball. Hopefully they have Cooper out there. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, that would help. Because obviously, shout out to Elijah Moore, though. He did have his best game probably as a Brown. That probably helps that Joe Flacco is there for the, in that respect, because they do have that like built-in chemistry from working together with the being together with the Jets. So, I mean, that's hopefully a sign of things to come in that respect.
Yep, I think they're just gonna need to keep figuring the offense out. I don't know how they're gonna do it, but maybe they'll work it out. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we will be back on Thursday with D&D therapy post therapeutic D&D session Gerbs.
And hopefully he has his puppy there. He at least was like happy when his puppy was there.
I mean, if you're sad with a puppy around,
what are you doing with your life, then?
Yeah. But okay, we'll be back on Thursday. Matt, you got anything else to add?
No, I think I'm good.
Enough therapy for one night.
Yeah, enough therapy for sure.
Okay. Well, we'll be back. The team will be back. The sky hasn't fallen yet. Sky hasn't fallen until you lose to the Bears.
Yeah, that's probably
true. Please don't lose to the Bears. Please don't lose to the Bears.
Yeah, please don't lose to the Bears, Jets, and Bengals. It's probably the Cole.
Doom levels will be too high. Okay. That'll be it for tonight. Go Browns.
Go Browns.
Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, genxgrownup.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right. I've never done it. No. Right.